been around somebody maybe well known and you didn't know you were around them? You didn't know it was them?
I don't know that I've ever been around anybody that was all that well known. It's funny, we play those games sometimes, like who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
man, I don't think I've ever met a famous person.
So I've been on, I was on Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
It aired this last week, though I'm in Turkey, so I haven't seen it. And also on Chicago PD. So I've been around like the sets and I'll be with these actors, but I've never seen the shows. So they'll be talking to
so
me.
So you don't even know that they're famous.
Like, oh, wow, that actor talked to you. Like, oh, is that an actor? I thought it was just a light person.
Yeah.
Anyway, you see a little bit of that play out here in Luke chapter 24.
Yeah. You're listening Between the Lines. I'm Scott
Jr.
And do you want to pick up? It's not Luke 24. It's Luke 23.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I accidentally hit. Okay. All right.
Yeah, because we haven't gotten the trial yet.
You're right. We don't want to skip that.
No.
So,
all right. You want to get started reading, even though you were in the wrong place?
Yeah. It says, then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate. Oh, so my whole hook, by the way, was for the next chapter. So that hook that I just gave you about being with somebody famous, that's for tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
you
got to
read
for that.
So make sure you read tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's Saturday. You got to read.
That's right. All right. This is more of a somber chapter, though.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard to laugh.
It necessarily needs a hook. It says, then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government, which is completely false, and by claiming he is the Messiah king.
He did claim that. He did.
So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus replied, well, you have said it. Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said, I find nothing wrong with this man. Then they became insistent, but he is causing riots by teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea and Galilee to Jerusalem. Oh, is he a Galilean? Pilate asked. When they said he was, Pilate sent it to Herod Antipas because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. By the way,
everybody just wants to pass it off to somebody else.
On YouTube, I watched one of my favorite YouTube channels is Bible Expedition. They do archaeology.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too.
And they believe they found Herod Antipas's place where Jesus was brought to.
Mm.
And it's a parking lot. You and I have walked through that parking lot a couple times.
Oh.
And they just started excavating it. It's like,
underneath it?
I want to get over
there. Oh, man.
Yeah. And you can find the floor.
Mm.
Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and was hoping and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people. He announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty, so I will have him flogged and then I will release him. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, kill him and release Barabbas to us. Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. So, I mean, he's guilty.
Yeah, and look at the kind of hatred that would have driven that.
Yeah. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time, he demanded, why? What crime has he committed? I found no reason to sentence him to death, so I will now have him flogged and then I will release him.
Which is bad enough, the flogging.
But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. As they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder. But he turned Jesus over to them to do with what they wish.
And it put all of their people in danger in order to pour out their hatred against this innocent man.
As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind him, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed are the women who are childless and the wombs that have not borne a child and the breasts that have never nursed. People will beg the mountains fall on us and bleed with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? You want to take it at verse 32?
Yeah. Two others. I just see Jesus as caring for people. Of course, that's why he's going to the cross in the first place. He didn't have to go through this. But he's caring for people even in the middle of this. Two others, both criminals, were led to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. Oh, man. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing a dice. You know, the menial stuff that they're, you know, just, oh, we want to get this cloak. We're throwing dice at the time where their creator, they're nailing their creator to this cross, lifted him up. He's above them bleeding and dying. And they're just concerned about getting this cloak. And it does remind me, we get so carried away on silly stuff in life and hardly thinking about those things that matter most, which first and foremost is our spiritual lives and our whether or not we have a connection with that God. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals was hanging beside him, scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle, that is, opening the way into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officers overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council at the Sanhedrin, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken down, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath day had begun, so they rested as required by the law. That's the dark chapter. Tomorrow, which is Saturday, we're going to read about the resurrection.
That's right.
So make sure you do your reading tomorrow.
That's right.
You don't need us reading to you, especially this chapter.
I already gave you your hook. So.
You already got the hook from Junior. But this will be such a cool time for you to be spending alone with God as you read about the most important event in human history. Yeah. God himself having been crucified for our sins, for our forgiveness, being raised from the dead to provide for us eternal life.
Yeah.
Make sure you read that tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to hijack the psalm.
Okay.
Mainly because, well, you hijack sometimes the...
Yeah, well, that's fine.
So I figured we could trade off a little bit.
You go
ahead. I have a good story for this. We're finishing up psalms today. It's 148, 149, 150.
That's this weekend. Today is 146 and 147, but... tomorrow is 148.
I'm still a day.
You're still in the wrong day.
Never
mind. But that's okay.
No, you can take it.
Well, go ahead.
Right. Psalm 150.
Yeah, let's
it's
just kind of
funny.
That.
You'll read that tomorrow. Psalm 150, okay. Though.
Yeah.
I went to a school that was very strict. They said no drums, no guitars. You can only have piano or organ. Yeah. Their rule was you can only have a guitar for singing if you're outside.
Yeah, you have to be outside. That's works, right. You can't have it inside. Yeah.
It's not godly
because those are for pianos and organs.
Yeah, but yeah, that's right. And so I had asked my Bible teacher. I said, "What about Psalm 150?" Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him with the ram's horn, with the lyre and the harp, with the tambourine and the dancing, with the strings and the flutes, with the crashing of the cymbals, with the loud clanging of cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord."
And that was in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Which was in the temple.
Yeah, right, right. And so I said, "Well, what about that?" And I was that annoying kid. It was sixth grade. And my Bible teacher goes, "Well, that was for that time. It's different today."
It's different for today.
So let me just say this. Yeah. As much as I love that man, he's wrong. It is not just for that time. It is absolutely for today.
Yeah.
And we should be worshipers. Why? Because of what we just read.
Yeah.
That we had God put on skin, come and die in our place.
Mm.
And that should lead us to worship.
Hey, we look forward to seeing you in church this weekend. Make sure you're there and let's really worship with jubilance. Men, and a lot of men, just as many men as women listening to this podcast, which is interesting. So many men that are listening to this, but we just don't have the same kind of joy and cheerfulness in singing by the men in church. And it should be. Guys, we should be leading the way on this.
That's right.
So let's be in church and let's lift him up.
It's actually
sing.
I like that you say that because it's actually National Sing Out Day.
All right.
So all right. Sing out.
Yeah, was it today or tomorrow though?
It's actually today. Well, wait, what's today again?
Today is Friday.
The 22nd.
Today is Friday the 22nd, yes.
Okay, well, that's good. Sing out day. I had got that right. Got the national. I didn't get the right scripture both times, but I got the right national day.
Well, we want you to transfer that over to Sunday. So when you come to church Saturday night or Sunday, make sure you're singing.
And here's the hope. On Monday, we hope to be talking to you from a bus here in Turkey.
That'll be a blast.
That's our hope. Yeah. So looking forward to bringing you on the trip a little bit.
God bless. Have a great weekend.